How many is ready to hear what God has got to say today? You're ready. You're ready for the word.
Yes.
And I've been meditating on this, Pastor. I told you some of the things that I might want to share, and I know what direction I want to go in now. How many is ready to get out of the area of lack?
Yes.
I'm talking about you, serious. How many is ready? You're ready to get out of the area of lack.
Yes.
Today is your day.
Amen.
Today is your day, and it's just like Trisha prayed. I'm going to be a doer of the word today.
Yes.
I will be a doer of the word today. Amen.
Amen.
Today. What is it? Today is the jumping off point. Amen. I remember Kurt Gibson used to say, he said, I've got so much faith, I'm going to get out on a limb and saw the limb off and watch the tree fall. You remember that, James? He'd say that. I'm going to saw the limb off and watch the tree fall. And then there's a saying, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. I'd rather get out of the boat and get wet than to sit in the boat and stay dry.
Amen.
Amen. But it's our choice. Our choice is, do I do what God says, or do I do what my emotions say? Do I do what my flesh says? Mm-hmm. Well, the blessings and the success is doing what God says.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God y'all are here today.
Amen.
We have choices.
Yes.
You could have stayed home, stayed in the bed. But thank God you didn't.
Amen.
Some of you had to wrestle yourself to get out of bed. Hallelujah. And you won. Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. I've got some seed in my pocket. And I'm gonna be walking around just giving some people some seed while I'm preaching. Is that all right? This is my seed. And you're gonna get my first seed. Hallelujah. God wants us free from poverty. God wants us free from lack. And church, it's our choice. Do I stay where I am doing what I'm doing? Or do I make choices and get out of it? How do I get out of it? I got two messages here. I'm going to start on one and go to the other. Is that all right? I want to talk to you about aggressive faith today. Aggressive faith today. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence taken by force. Amen. We need to have aggressive, not passive, faith. And faith and fear doesn't work. Faith and fear doesn't work. How do you get faith? Somebody help me. How do you acquire faith? How do you obtain faith? By hearing the word of God. The more you listen to your problems, the more you listen to your debt, the more you listen to your lack of economics, the bigger the problem gets. Amen? So what is my choice? My choice is to find it in the word of God and stand on it.
Amen.
I remember years ago, I was in the Christiansburg Ministerial Association. This was probably in the mid to late 80s. And there's one of the preachers, one of the pastors of a local church, called me for lunch one day. Rob, I just need to talk to you. Just wanted to have some fellowship with you. So I went and we had it. He said, I'll meet you at McDonald's. Hello, McDonald's. So we're sitting there talking and what have you. And he said, Rob, he said, I've noticed when you're in the group, you talk too much about faith and you talk too much about prosperity and too much about this and too much about that. And I just sit there and listen. And as I'm listening, God is downloading memory scriptures into me to share with him. I said, well, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? Are we supposed not to have money? Well, no, I didn't say that. How much is too much? Well, I don't know. So I took him to the scripture and I began to share scripture with him. Did it change his heart, change his mind? I don't know. He never asked me for lunch again. But that was, I was telling Tricia this, I've shared this before. When I first started in the Ministerial Association, I'd go up and greet someone, and they'd shake my hand and turn around and walk off. And some of them, before I got to them, they'd turn around. They didn't want to. We were the new thing on the block, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the new guy. But after I was there a couple of years, I'd grab the hand and pull them up to me and hug them. And after several years, they elected me the president of CMA, and I was the only one to serve for 3 years. I remember Kurt Gibson. Bless Kurt Gibson's heart. He's in heaven. Kurt was on staff here, and he's in heaven now. But he went to the association meeting one time, and I missed it. I was out of town somewhere. He volunteered me to be the vice president. But anyway. But talking about faith, what do I want to do with what I believe? What do I want to do with what I believe? Do I believe what do I believe what lack says? Do I believe what poverty says? Or do I believe what the Word of God says? Hopefully we find out what the Word of God says. Amen. Let's look in, I will start with Matthew 6:33. Turn right to it. Matthew 6:33. And it talks about clothing, talks about food, talks about homes. And then it gets down, this is what the Amplified says, it gets down to verse 33. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom. Amen? If you think about what Colossians says, we have been taken from the kingdom of darkness or the dominion of darkness and translated or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God. So we were of the kingdom of darkness. Now we're in the kingdom of light. We need to start acting like we're in the kingdom of light. Amen. Amen. So first of all, put your heart after, put all your affection toward what God has got for you. Amen. Amen. It says His kingdom, His righteousness, and here's the kicker, His way of doing and being right. Am I treating my money right? And Tricia said this several years ago, and it has echoed in my heart ever since. She said, God told her He wanted her to learn how to have the right relationship with money. Unless you have the right relationship with money, money will rule you. Your circumstances will rule you. Your debt will rule you. And we're coming up on a time, I'm going to get into a touchy area here. We're coming into a season now of where money is very important. I'm going to spend thousands of dollars on gifts. I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars on gifts. Tricia and I have 11 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and hungry sons. No, no. They don't look hungry. No, they don't.
They're blessed.
They're not hungry. They're blessed. So what do we do? Go out and buy them $100 each a gift? No. We just send them a little gift card. A $15, $25 gift card. It's not the amount. What am I doing? What am I doing with the money God has given me? Am I wise in my spending? Am I wise in my sowing? I'm talking about sowing. Am I wise in my sowing? Amen. Am I wise in my sowing? Am I supposed to sow? I'm supposed to sow some more. Glory to God. That's another one. I'm supposed to sow some more. Y'all just love this, don't you? I love sowing. And you the next one I'm supposed to sow to. Look for places to give. Look for good ground to sow into. God will bless you. God will supernaturally bless you. Amen. I'm farming. Hallelujah. And this is for you guys. Hallelujah. And I'm not through sowing. What am I doing? Planting seed. Sowing seed. Oh my. Poverty is going to be broken today. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of poverty. It's a spirit of poverty. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, not long after Trisha and I got married, Trisha married me and my debts. And she found out real quick that I didn't know how to manage money. If money come in, I'd spend it, mostly on the boys. I had the boys every weekend, and then I'd have them ever in the middle of the week. I had my two children. And I'd spend my money. It got so bad. I was working at a refractory place. You know, that's where they line the fire kilns and what have you in Central Florida. And we'd go out of town for 2 or 3 days and be gone down toward Miami Homestead or somewhere. And come back, we'd get our vehicle and go home. We come back in the yard one day, and my truck wasn't there. I had a nice little, that was BT before Trisha. And I had a nice little 69 Datsun. I got a story to tell you all about that truck. I traded that. I had a 61 Chevrolet pickup. Nice little short bed pickup. I had rebuilt the engine in it and got it running good. And my cousin had this little Datsun pickup. And this is the first time that I'd been in one that had the dimmer switch on the did y'all, talking about the dimmer switch on the steering wheel, did y'all know that there's a place in West Virginia they're going to have to start building cars to put the dimmer switches back on the floor? Did y'all know about that? The people were getting their feet tangled up in the steering wheel and they couldn't drive. That's bad. So anyhow, I had this nice little pickup. And we pulled back into the company yard, and my truck wasn't there. I said, somebody stole my truck. Somebody stole my truck. I got to fishing around. You know where it was at? Repossessed. I didn't make payments on it. The bank got it. Now here's another brilliant move. I was born again at the time, but sure wasn't soaking myself in the word. So I had this gun, nice shotgun, Winchester, automatic. So I took it to the man I was working for, and I said, Julius, I said, can you give me $100, and I'll just let you keep my gun for a week or two, and then I'll pay. Oh, yeah, sure, Roxy. Give me $100. I gave him a nice shotgun. 2 weeks later, his wife left him and sold every gun he had, and mine was in it. That's terrible. Got my car repossessed and my gun's gone. I'm walking. So, folks, I was beyond the spirit of poverty. I was in the land of nowhere. I mean. And then Mary Tricia, thank God he brought her into my life. And not long after we were married, there was a man came to the church, Derek Prince. Has anyone ever heard of Derek Prince? Good ministry. He's since gone to heaven. He had a tremendous deliverance ministry. And he was sharing, and Tricia would tell me, you just got a spirit of poverty. Well, my hackles would raise up. What do you mean, spirit of poverty? It came down from generation to generation. My father never owned a house. Died when he was 45 years old. Never owned a house. My mother never had an automatic washing machine. Never did. We didn't have a phone in the house until I was 11 years old and mother married my pop. Didn't have a TV set until I was 11 years old. So I knew what she was coming out of, but I didn't know how to get out of it. Well, that same spirit attached itself to me. Well, here in this church in Winter Haven, Florida, he's a minister, you know, and this was after I went through my ranting and raving and getting on Tricia telling me that I had a spirit of poverty when I know I did, but I was refusing it. Well, here he started sharing, you know. Brother Prince, he's talking about lack and talking about poverty. And he said, if you want that spirit broken over your life, he said, stand up. I just stood up. I stood up. Several others stood up. And he broke that spirit of poverty. But it was my choice. Did it happen overnight? Did the finances change overnight? No, but through a period of time, putting the word into operation, starting to give my tithe, starting to give our offering, starting to look for somewhere to sow seed, we gradually got out of it. But it took several years. It wasn't overnight, but we stuck with it because God said. It got so bad. I asked Tricia one night, I said, because she, thank God for her. If it said it in the word, she just stood on it. I said, can you tell me if this word's working or not? Us giving and us doing. I don't see any change. And I was going off at her. But what I needed to do was stick with what the word said. Amen. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things right. And he said, you will get out of it. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. This message set mine and Tricia's life on course. Let's look in chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. When we moved to Texas, into Fort Worth, Texas, we knew that God set us on that course to go to Texas. We didn't know anybody out there. We didn't know anyone in Fort Worth. Had no relatives, no friends. So we drove to Fort Worth, Texas. And we thought that Brother Copeland had a school out there. He didn't. But he had his ministry there. So we found out through a series of events, we found out where Jerry Savelle's had his church, Overcoming Faith Center. And we were homeless out there for a week. Homeless. Nowhere to live. So anyway, and I'm going to shorten this. So we found Brother Savelle's church, and we started the first Sunday we got there. The first Sunday we walked in the door. There was probably 350 people there. And this is what Brother Savelle ministered. I remember it. And let us not lose heart. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. And that set my course, set our course. I refuse to be weary in well-doing. For in due time's about to happen. Yes. Bethann, due time is coming your way.
Amen.
Due time. You have been faithful. You've been diligent. You've been trustworthy. Due time is coming your way soon. So stick with it. Stick with it. Stand. He says, for in due time and at the appointed season. This is our season, folks. Thank God for Thanksgiving. Thank God for Christmas. But how about the season of getting out of lack? How about the season of getting out of poverty? How about the season of getting into more than enough? More than enough. We need more than enough. And we shall reap. Folks, the only way you're going to reap is if you sow.
That's right.
You sow it, God will grow it.
Amen.
If you want a harvest to come in, God, I'm sowing. I'm planting this seed.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this? If we do not loosen and relax. If we don't loosen and relax our courage and faint. And I like what Paul told the church in Ephesus. When you've done all you can do, stand. 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 And then what did Micah 8:7 say? Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. If I go down one time, I'm getting up again. You may knock me down, but I'm getting up. I will get up. I will get up. When the time seems the toughest, I mean, it's the hardest you've gone through, continue to stand. And you will prosper. You will come through. Don't grow weary in well doing. Amen. And let's look at go to Hebrews chapter 10. I really hope y'all are getting this. Let this be the best Christmas season you've gone through.
Amen.
Let this be the best Christmas season you've gone through. You want to be a blessing to someone, that's good. That's well and good. That's all well and good. But I'm saying don't go in debt to do it. Don't go in debt to be a blessing to someone. You'll be a blessing to them, but what's happening to you? Amen. Is grandmother and granddaddy good to you? But y'all understand what I'm saying. Amen. God, what's the value? What's the value of the money I'm putting into this particular gift? What's it for? Is it to let them know I love them? Well, let's don't go there. Y'all do understand what I'm saying. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's look in verse 33. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. God is always, always faithful to his word. And go back to what he said and what Paul told the church in Rome. That God speaks of those things that he has foretold and promised if they already existed. Now go to 1 John chapter 5. Thank you, Father. And listen to this. Wow. In chapter 5, let's look in verse 14. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 14. Now some of you, when you leave this service, you're going to just, this is just going to go right over your head. But some of you are going to grab it. And you will come out of that area. The spirit of poverty will be broken. Amen. And this is the confidence. This is the assurance. The privilege of boldness which we have in him. In God, we are sure that if we ask anything, make any request, that covers it all, doesn't it? Make any request according to his will. This is not yours, this is his will. In agreement with his own plan. And look back at Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for your life. It's for your good, for your benefit. For your divine expectation or your divine hope. He listens to and hears us. Now we see that. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to verse 15. It says, and if or since we positively know. This is not a thought. We know that he listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted as our present possessions the request made of Him. So where is my confidence? And it's in His Word. Amen? And before we get out of here this morning, I hesitate to say this. Some of you, I'm not going to say all, but some of you are going to have that spirit of lack broken over you. And you'll know it. You will know that you're set free from that spirit of poverty. From that, I don't have enough. I have too many bills. I have too much of this and too much of that and not enough income. That's going to be broken today. As a result of that, as you sow, as you give, the Word of God is going to be active in you where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. The same way you measure out, it's going to be measured back to you. People expect people to give to you. And don't have the attitude of somebody walk up and say, no, I don't need it. Well, if you've been sowing, receive.
Amen.
If you've been sowing, reap. If it's a dollar, if whatever the amount is, receive it with thanksgiving. Amen? Now, we all have the ability to leave here today with that spirit of poverty broken. Amen? But it's up to us. It's up to us. Wow, this is one finger at you and three back at me. How many times have I said, I'm going to not do this, I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to take myself to the table? How many times have I said, I'm not going to eat this, and I'm not going to eat that, I refuse to eat that, and the next thing I know, I'm back in the bowl of ice cream. Or Cold Stone. And I do that. But this one area, Trish and I have succeeded. We will not allow the spirit of poverty back in our house.
Amen.
It will not come back. I refuse to allow it to come back. When we see it coming in, we start giving. We start sowing. We go to our closet. I've given shoes, jackets, coats, clothes, money, cars, whatever. We give it away. We will not allow that spirit of lack and poverty back in our house. It has no place in our house. None whatsoever. And why am I sowing today? It ain't because I have a need. It's because I want to. I want to. I want to sow today. Amen. I'm going to sow some more. Somebody said, well, so what? I'm going to sow this to you guys. That's yours. And that's yours. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Somebody said, well, why ain't He come to me yet? I don't know. Yeah, Trisha, you got your faith catchers out there. But y'all understand where I'm coming from? We all have need for money. We all have need for money. You can't have too much money. I don't think you can, no. How many has ever said, oh, Lord, I've got too big a bank account. Lord, I want my bank account to add up. That's yours. Amen. I wish I had $100 to give all of you. That'd be about a dollar a piece. No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible, ain't it? That's terrible. But y'all understand where I'm coming from. Thank you. But y'all know where I'm coming from. If you have lack at your house, kick it out. With faith. With faith. Kick it out. With faith, dismiss it. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Amen. Glory, glory. Go to 1 Chronicles. And I'm going to start winding this down. 1 Chronicles in chapter 14, verse 11. This is a statement of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. He says, "So Israel came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote the Philistines there. Then David said, God has broken my enemies by my hand." And what I want you to see here, God has broken the spirit of poverty because of your faith. Because of your trusting in Him. "Like the bursting forth of waters, therefore they call the name of that place." And here's what I want you to see. The Lord of breaking through. We serve a breakthrough God. This is your day today for breakthrough. Now you can wake up in the morning and all kind of thoughts can come your way. All kind of thoughts. "Lord, I've got this problem with money." Not problem, but "I've got this issue with money. I have this issue with..." But what does God say about your money? Money is mentioned in the Bible more times than healing. Our finances. Amen. And then we see the scripture says God gives us the ability to get wealth so that He can confirm or establish His covenant in the earth. And we're to be a blessed people. The word blessed means to be envied, to be happy, to be envied. How can the world look upon us with all of our debt, all of our lack, and say, "I want to be like that"? Amen?
Amen.
Ought not be so. The world ought to look on us and not complain about the kind of automobile we drive. An automobile is a piece of sheet metal with an engine in it. It's a piece of sheet metal. Give you a real quick story. You may have heard this before, but there's a pastor friend of mine, lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, got a good church out there. He told me this years ago. He had always wanted a little Mercedes sports car. I mean, what do you call them, SLs or something, 580? It's a little two-door coupe. How many know what I'm talking about? And he wanted one. He found one for $11,000. He bought it, drove that thing to church. And some of the comments, "Oh, pastor's got a Mercedes. Oh, well, who does he think he is? He's driving a Mercedes. Well, you go ahead and drive your little Hugo." Moving right along. Is that the name of Hugo? 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 Chevette? But they started, it spread through the congregation. "Pastor's got a Mercedes, boy." And it was condescending. And it was having an effect with the congregation. He said he sold it. Bought a $20,000 Honda. "Oh, pastor's got a nice car now." All because of the badge on the car. From a Honda to a Mercedes, that's critical. But from the Mercedes to the Honda, that's acceptable. God wants us blessed beyond measure. What does He say in John 10:10? Jesus has come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. That is beyond measure. Amen.